Our scripture reading is Psalm 13, verses 4 to 6. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Thank
you. Our Heavenly Father, our God, we know that times are upon us now. We are living in the end times, knowing yet that we may draw upon your grace and your love. Draw upon your word, Father, that you have given to us, so that we may know thee, to know thy character, and today know that you gave your all in allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to come to this earth, to live the life that you did, Lord, and to die on Calvary's cross for all of mankind, taking the sins of the world upon self. And we know that you were successful. Come from the grave, return to the heavenly kingdom, to the living home that is yours. And we thank thee for a surety that one day we will be with thee for eternity. We pray now. And pray that now we will take these words into our hearts in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes, choices. Choices every day. Our life, our family, our work, our education. It may be there is a time that there is no choice, especially if you're taken captive. What is your fate going to be? So we'll see that. But most assuredly, we know that there are two choices. Either we're going to choose a life with our Lord Jesus Christ or live without him. And we pray that we make that right choice, that God has not spared anything so that we may choose his son, Jesus Christ, for that. And as I said, we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 5, the story of Naaman and a slave girl. And I'd like to read the first two verses of that, 2 Kings 5, 1 and 2. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Here he is, a king, captain in the king of the army of the king of Syria. And it says he was held in high regard by the king, that he was honorable and a man of value. And God was able to use him. To think that we say this, but to use him to punish Israel. Because we know of their backfalling, their downfalls that they had. They forgot about their God. And so at times they had to be punished. This was one of those times. It says it was probably really in peacetime, but yet there were still raids upon Israel at different times all the time, and this was one of them there. And he was able to use Naaman even though he had leprosy. Now it probably was all over the way it was, but not sure how the other nations handled leprosy, but we know that with Israel that they were isolated. The person had to be isolated if they had leprosy. And it also says that Naaman may have been in the early stages of leprosy, and he was able to keep his position in the army of Israel there. In there in verse 2, as I read, we are told that they went on one of their raids. They took captive a young girl from Israel, and she was given to Naaman's wife to be one of her maids. This young girl, suddenly taken from her parents, we don't know, but her parents might even have been killed in this raid. We don't know. But here she is, taken to a foreign land. Her life radically changed. Probably her name was probably changed. probably was forced to learn another language. In other words, her life completely changed. In some respects, probably you can say for the good, but mostly not. You know that. Then verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover of his leprosy. The maid did learn of Naaman's leprosy, and she remembered the prophet Elias there in her own nation. And then we're not sure, but being a slave, they probably had to have permission to speak to their ones in lead. And so she probably had to have permission to speak to her mistress. But she took that initiative and that, and she told the mistress about the prophet in Israel. And if Naaman was able to go to him, that he could be cured. The surety that this little girl, young girl, already had. You know that. And then the wife, fearing for her husband with leprosy, went in and told Naaman what the young maid had told her. And Naaman, we can really say probably with the guiding of the Holy Spirit, seeing that he may have a chance to have his disease cured, went into the king, as we read there in verse 5, to get his permission for him to go and see this prophet. And it tells us that he took great wealth with him. And that's also part of, along with strength and leadership and everything of valor. It's about riches and wealth too. So the captain must have had wealth. And then the king also said that he would send a letter with Naaman asking the king to have him healed. And then verse 7, we read there. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And that there, the king of Syria, or the king of Israel, thought maybe there was a hidden agenda there with this letter. So he was a little bit afraid of that. But verse 8, as we read, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Again, probably through the Holy Spirit, Elisha was able to hear about this and saw that. And as we look at the young maid again, now here's a young lady taken away from her parents, from their influence, their upbringing, from her religious training that she more than likely gave. In verse 3 there, showing that she was not willing to give up that training, her teachings and her beliefs, and being able to go to her mistress. She made a choice. She did not have the choice in being taken captive, but she did have a choice here. And she might have prayed to God for strength to endure, and she probably did. And if there was a chance that she was told by her parents or even heard it in the synagogue, she might have used Psalms chapter 13 for her prayer. And so let's read them. Psalms 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? Here, this is David's prayer, one of David's prayers. Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep this sleep of death. Let my enemy say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Yes, a prayer there given. First despair, then prayer, and then praise. And that's the prayer life that we can lead today to. And are we like that young girl, not willing to give up our beliefs, our trust, our faith in our God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? And you can read this story in Prophets and Kings chapter 20. And then we can look at the wife again. We know that the Lord was able to use Naaman and was able to use both the young girl and the wife. You know. And the wife probably figuring this was a way that she could have her husband, save her husband. She didn't know what it was going to be, wouldn't even know what her fate was going to be with this leprosy there. And so she made a choice also to go to her husband. Naaman, used of God, healed by God. We don't know what tools God has in storage to use to bring the knowledge of himself to others. So Naaman, believing the girl, went into the king for permission to go and see the prophet. We've already talked about what happened with both kings there, you know. And then Naaman did go to the prophet's home, but he encountered the prophet's servant, Gehazi, instead of the prophet. And the servant was told to tell him to go and dip himself in the river Jordan 7 times. In verse 11, let's go back to 1 Kings, or 2 Kings 5, in verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will shortly come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." And he had one idea, his thought of how it should happen. And we ourselves think many times things that they should happen should go our way, but we know that they do not go that way. Knowing in verse 12 there, knowing about the River Jordan in its usual condition, thought maybe he could go down or go to the river in Syria, in his own country, that it was much cleaner, chosen. So here he is, choosing his way to be cleansed. But verses 13 and 14. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet hath bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again. And like unto the flesh of a little child, he was clean." Dear. What if Naaman had only dipped 5 times? Or maybe even dipped 6 times? What would have been the outcome? We can surely know what it would have been. If we today are not willing to listen to the voice of God, to his word, to keep his commandments and do as he has required of us, if we're not willing to honor God's request, to follow his commandments, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, for each of us and for the church. Choices to be made all the choices made in 2 Kings chapter 5. Especially there, we look at the choice made in verses 15 through 27. Here the choice that the prophet's servant made to gain something, to gain wealth. And what a different outcome it would have been. It could have been. But we know that Gehazi received this leprosy also for the rest of his life. We all make many choices in our lives. We're still doing so, still making choices. Some are normal, some are wrong, some are the right ones. But our real choice in this life here on this earth, choose to obey God or choose to obey man through the workings of Satan. That is it. Satan is doing everything in his power to get each of us to follow the pathway of least resistance. Eternal destruction. As I said, two choices. Follow God and the Lord Jesus Christ, or follow the path of least resistance. And no matter what our lives are, what happens in our lives, we need to be true to the commandments of God. That's what we have. And we have this word right here. This inspired word of God. Written down long ago, but real relevant for today in this modern society. But in the word in the Bible there, during their times, it was modern to them. And today it's our modern society. What's going to happen in the very near future, we don't know. We need to take one day at a time to be able to see what's happening and how we are going to react negatively or positively to what is coming and going around us. We need to start each day with God, asking for direction. Our minds drawn to Christ, never letting our guard down, for we know not what stumbling blocks are ahead of us. But when we know that we stumble, that we can fall upon the rock, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to guide us through. To have a prayer-led life daily in our lives. And I pray that each one of us will do that. So as we close, we'll be closing with hymn number 491, In the Isle of Trial. I know some of us are having trials now, but we are thankful that we have the Lord Jesus Christ and our God to see us through no matter what. Yes, our Heavenly God, we have the surety that you will see us through all our trials. Whatever life brings us, if we turn to thee, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we may be successful. Yes, we know that we are sinners in need of salvation. And we know that only through our Lord God, through our Jesus Christ, that we can have salvation. So we pray now that this morning, this is the assurance we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. So guide us as we leave this place. In Jesus' precious name, amen.